When the van pulls up at the United Methodist Church of Crescent City, the Sierra Service Project staff is there to greet you. One of the most impressive aspects of this program is that the staff is made up of college students. College students do all the on-site administration, buy the groceries, cook the meals, map out the construction projects, draw up the maps, purchase the materials, and create the spiritual program. And they play guitar, sing, and get to know the participants, and model a supportive and productive community for all of us. And one of the first things they do after they greet the volunteers is collect all the cell phones. They come up to the van with a bin and blue tape and take all the phones, label them, and store them until the end of the week. Adult volunteers keep their phones for safety and communication to the worksite, but all the youth volunteers spend a week without them. A week off social media helps build community in Crescent City. And a week without our phone cameras also lets us remember how we are all wonderfully made and wildly connected. Cell phones allow us to connect with social groups, but the cameras in our pockets allow us to endlessly see ourselves, reflect on our image, identify our deficits, use filters to alter our features, perfect what we see as flaws, and strive to be something we are not. Cell phones do not encourage us to see ourselves as wonderfully made. There's another thing about our week at SSP. We don't have access to a lot of mirrors. At SSP, we stay at the United Methodist Church of Crescent City, and they generously let us sleep in their meeting rooms and their nursery and use their four toilets. Our week had 45 members and 10 staff, so no one person had much time in the bathrooms. In the evening, we go to other sites to take five-minute showers. That's 5 minutes to undress, take a shower, dry off, and free up the bathroom for the next person. There is one mirror in the church outside of the bathrooms, but it is in a doorway just inside the social hall, so you cannot stand in front of it without blocking the flow of traffic. So during the week of SSP, we don't see our own image as often as we do in our everyday lives. We can't evaluate ourselves, identify our flaws, make a list of the ways we fall short. What we do say at SSP is that we're part of a larger group. Each group sleeps in one room. Last year, we were assigned to a space with another church. So at least for the first couple of days, we were sleeping near strangers. We all eat at communal tables in the church parking lot, and sometimes our Crescent City neighbors drive by and honk at us. We work at each site in work teams made up of people from different churches, where we all share a spiritual sandwich each day during lunch. We discuss big questions here, and at the end of the week, every member says what they like about the team. We show that we see everyone's strengths, not their weaknesses. During the week of SSP, you're literally never alone, and you feel the support of all the other people who are working, eating, playing, and worshiping right beside you. And you come to realize that this is the way that people have lived through most of human history. There were no cameras, kids didn't have their own bedrooms, there were no bathrooms to hog. Even mirrors were only available to the elite. That's the environment where the human brain developed. Without mirrors and cameras, how can we know what we look like, how we are made? Through the faces of others. Do they light up when we walk in the room? Do they smile when we ask to sit at the table? Because we are wildly connected to each other, we see ourselves as God made us, wonderful, just as we are. When we display the fruits of the Spirit, we see our true selves reflected in the joys of the community. As someone who has grown up in this age, being born in 2010, I see all too often how social media changes the way I interact with my peers or how they interact with one another. While there's undoubtedly been different groups and interests in every generation, sometimes I get the sense that phones and apps almost give us an incentive to shun one another for the approval of more than just our local communities and schools. We are more afraid to express ourselves at being risk of posted online or being made fun of in group chats, because the internet never forgets. So we tend to stick to peers most similar to us, where the majority of our actions and tastes and interests are least judged. SSP is one of the few places that I feel that herd mentality break down. As we're all put into groups of some people we might initially think we're nothing like. But without our phones, we're out of reach of our cliques or lack thereof. We can't post each other. We can't distract ourselves from getting to know one another. So we make friends. We find connections where otherwise we may have not. For example, my friends are typically some form of gay, neurodivergent, or musicians. As far as I found out, the kids in my group were none of that. They were very foreign to me. I generally don't use social media unless I have to communicate with close friends, but for my group, social media formed large parts of their relationships and pastimes. And by the second day, me and the group I wasn't entirely sure I would get along with had meshed too well, and we were hard put to make sure we were actually doing work and not just getting along and making jokes. That's kind of what made Wildly Connected click in my brain. Without the internet, we were given a chance to see each other as wonderful. Needless to say, the goodbyes, when two of our group members left a day early, were far more teary-eyed than I could have predicted, even on my third year of SSP. That friendship was the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord each of us took home.
We have some pictures to show you, and we ran out of our photo album, but I wanted to, if you didn't get a photo album, you can take a look here, and folks at home can take a look. So we leave early on a Sunday morning from the parking lot. It's a tradition at Westminster that everybody does a jumping picture, and we go up to Del Norte County and Crescent City. So it's almost to the Oregon border. It's like a 7-hour drive. And we stay at the United Methodist Church. This year we went on July the 5th, so they were celebrating the 250th anniversary in Crescent City. And this is the room that we sleep in. So you can see that we're sleeping on the floor. Some people have cots, but all of our stuff is there. If you can just hold that one just a second. I just wanted to thank the deacons, because the deacons sent us all on our trip with customized bags that say to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly, Westminster Church youth. And we each had a customized 3D printed tag with our name on it. You are loved, Westminster Presbyterian, exclamation point. So this is Molly's. It has her name on it. And this was filled with snacks for the car ride, so we did not starve on the way up there. And we also received a card every single day. Every kid got a card, and I did too, from one of the deacons. And so that was a pleasure. That is how we started our day, with a card from the deacons on the pillow, and people would actually wake up in order to read the card. So that was, we thank the deacons so much for sending us along with all those notes of support. Okay, thanks. That was great. We eat outside on the parking lot, and it was a little gray the week that we were there for a lot of the days. But we all eat together, and this is how we brush our teeth at night. This is called Sally's, and so they don't want you taking up too much time in the bathroom, so everybody goes out on the parking lot and brushes their teeth when you're doing squats, so it's like double duty. You can see that they keep us very busy throughout the day, and we do chores before we leave after the meals. We go and spend about 9 to 4 at our work site, and we come back. We have a little bit of free time, then dinner, and then a program, and then we take showers and lights out at 10 o'clock, thank goodness. And this is Matthew volunteering to be the person who decides. He spins around and then with his eyes closed, and then you have to pick where the line is going to start for the meal. So that's a very exciting thing. And even though Matthew was his first year, he was out there participating in everything, as was Molly on her first year. This next series, we do safety of all the power tools. They really teach you how to use power tools. And so that's really fun. On the first day, you feel like you come out with a lot of skills. And then you go to your site. And the sites are chosen by CR Service Project. So in Crescent City and around Crescent City, people put in applications of projects that they would like to have done. And they are real projects, and the college students draw up the plans. They have the plans done, and they hope that, you know, each week you'll make a lot of progress. So Molly was on my team this year. Here she is staining some boards from Walter's porch and mixing concrete. We got to mix concrete. We got to pour concrete for the posts, and it was pretty successful. Look at Molly pouring that concrete that set so well. Then you got to make sure it's all even. And we put in brackets, but the next week, some other folks came in and started building the whole structure. So you don't see the whole end of most projects. You got to wait until the end of the summer. And then one day we go to Talawa Dunes. This is a project where they pull European beach grass. They've been working on this project with Sierra Service Project for 12 years, and they've accomplished so much that they've finished all of the work in the Native American part of Talawa Dunes, and they're moving into the state park now. And when you pull the beach grass, it allows the native plants to grow up, and then that the snowy plovers come back, the native bees come back. It's really exciting. They don't plant native plants. They just, like, appear because the beach grass is gone. It's a little cold up there, as you can see. Everybody, it's usually in the 50s while we're up there, which is a big change from the middle of the summer here in Sacramento. And then after beach grass, we go to Smith River. We spend one afternoon, we don't work. We have a cookout. We're in these massive redwood trees. And we get to swim in one of the cleanest rivers in the country, the cleanest in California, on a swimming hole. And it is just beautiful, beautiful fresh water. And we have our program there right on the riverfront that night. So a big part of it is a spiritual program that the college students create. And every day we have a spiritual sandwich at lunch that we ask big questions in our work groups. And then in the evening, we all get together, the whole camp, and have a spiritual program that includes singing songs from the Sierra Service Project songbook. And there's some fun, too. There was a button-making project, and Molly made about 20 buttons, she says, and Matthew was very enthusiastic about that. And you can just hang out for a little bit on the at the back of the church and make new friends, as Millie said. And it is just a really great week. Every single year, we have such a wonderful time. Every night we have devotional or Devo, and the students lead that. This is Molly's, this is our group, our work group, and Molly's involved in that Devo. We had to lead, we got to lead Devo on Tuesday night. And you can tell that we get to use all the parts of the church. The Methodist Church is so generous with that. Here's Matthew with his work group leading Devo on another night. And here we are on the last night. It's always bittersweet to leave, but we're very excited that we get to go again, and we think that we are going to have even more youth that want to go, and so I hope that maybe some adults will want to go too. So thank you so very much for your support of Sierra Service Project.